Welcome, everyone. It's 6 o'clock for the Lou, and I and him. And him is missing again.
Hello, everyone.
And Lou's microphone's not on yet because, you know, I do the entry here at WSQF Blinker Radio 94.5. Live stream at WSQFradio.com. All the shows are there. All the Lou and I and him shows are there. I think we're at 30 shows.
Wow.
Yeah. And that means that we know that much English, even though we repeat... Even though we repeat the words on a regular basis, we don't have expanded vocabulary. So how the hell are you, Lou?
I'm great. Thank you very much for asking.
Yeah.
It's my birthday Monday.
Today's your birthday?
No, Monday.
This is the, but you told me Monday.
Coming Monday.
Oh, this coming Monday.
Yeah.
Don't you find yourself to be a sleaze promoting your birthday a week away?
Well, it's a special. No, it's
just... Hey, it's a special. Why? Because you made it this far?
Yeah.
Shit, I can say the same damn thing. Check to see if your headphones on. I had a tech in here trying to figure out why my headphones were acting up.
Oh, it's working.
Yeah. We've been down. Headphones have been down for I don't know how long. And since I lack the technical knowledge to understand why.
Oh, here's the control. Sorry.
And... So we're here in this decked out place because, gotta admit, of all the radio stations you've been at, this is one of the coolest ones.
Yeah.
You better say yeah.
I remember a friend of mine used to be the a DJ at in my college. It was a local station, and I remember this was University of Maryland. It was out in Greenbelt somewhere, the radio station.
Okay.
So you know the area.
I'm familiar with College Park in the area.
Which has been in the news lately for...
For the wrong reason, because the commies have taken over.
Yeah, the commies have taken
over. They're everywhere. People don't realize it.
Oh, my God.
People don't realize
I mean,
it.
I don't know how they did it, because
it's easy.
In our day...
It's this side of the Mason-Dixon line.
In
our
day in college, these losers would have been run out of town in a rail by a bunch of... But
remember, you also had, that might not really hold water, because there's a lot of Vietnam vets that became very anti-establishment because of the way they were treated when they got back.
Yeah, that's a totally different...
But that crowd went to the University of Maryland.
This crowd,
lots of them did.
This crowd is establishment, man.
You're right, the elitist.
Yeah, the establishment is...
Just, yeah, there's a lot of establishment people.
This woman is like the mayor of College Park. Total anti-white racist bitch, you know.
You can say bitch on the radio.
I know, I know.
You don't be shy. Bitch is fine.
Yeah,
bitch,
no, but, and she and I rarely use the moniker, but she certainly deserves it.
Yeah, and what?
By the way, College Park is where the University of Maryland is, and both Manuel and I went to it. Terrapins.
We're Terrapins. I was there during Boomer Esiason's era.
Right.
Lefty Driesell.
Yeah.
Lenny Bias.
Yeah.
And you were there before.
Not that much for you.
Come on, man. I have you only by a couple of years.
Yeah.
Only the only caveat, for all honesty, he graduated, I didn't. Okay, so
we both lived in the same dorm, Allegheny dorm.
You went to Allegheny Hall too?
Yeah.
You told me that once before.
Yeah, yeah.
Although it wasn't dilapidated when you went.
It was pleasant enough, you know.
Not me, man. Our rooms had holes in every wall.
No, it was fine.
You were sleeping with the other guy snoring. You know, there was a hole in the wall between you and him, you know. What the hell?
My roommate had a poster of Midway, the movie Midway with Charlton Heston. I'll never forget, you know.
When you first moved in, your first impression of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had in the middle of the Iran hostage crisis.
Yeah, yeah, no, I remember, yeah.
And my roommate was Iranian.
That was happening.
God does things to you, man, that you have to overcome. And you know what it is to have to share space with that guy? And all I had was CNN to watch because Fox didn't exist.
Exactly.
And I had to sit there with this guy, and he's annoyed that I'm like, yeah, I'm screaming. Ah, you son of a, we had to bum you guys out of. And he goes, how dare you talk like that? They go, you can leave right now until the news is over. And he would go and take a shower just to be away from me for those hours.
The dorms were, what a life that was. I remember this guy from the dorms. I didn't know.
The bathrooms were down the hall.
It was like three floors.
It was three floors.
Yeah, three floors.
And I had Montgomery Hall across an alley.
And this guy knocks on my door, and he says, hey, excuse me, but... you know, my girlfriend, she's, I know you're a movie guy. I know you're a film.
You were back then? You were still a buff?
You're a film major,
yeah. You were already a film major.
Yeah.
In fact, that was my first major. film, television, and music.
My girlfriend has to write this criticism of, could you help her? And I said, no problem, but I have to finish watching Rich Man, Poor Man, which was on because you couldn't record.
There was no cable news.
There was no video. There was no, you had to be there and physically watch it from a certain hour to a certain hour. Otherwise,
there was no DVR.
There was no DVR. There was no VHS. There was nothing.
It's incredible that we survived.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. It was just around the corner.
I remember there was cable because I was watching CNN already and ESPN.
Yeah.
And the Saturday night fights, the infamous boxing fights at night.
They were just coming in, but it wasn't there yet.
With a guy named Berman.
Yeah.
And he would do the fights. And I remember I got to see Mike Tyson in the early days of his career.
Wow.
1-0, 2-0, 3-0. He just would never lose. I got to see the whole Mike Tyson
career. I had a great time. And I had great friends. And they're still friends of mine.
And you also had a bunch of hair, so you were handsome.
Yeah, I was handsome, yeah.
The
girls liked me.
Yeah, plus you were a smart guy.
I was smart.
And you would tell them what movies to watch.
Exactly. I'd take them out to the movies.
You'd take them
there
out.
There was no DVD. We'd have to go to
the movies.
To the movies, you know.
Yeah, and there was no Blockbuster Video or nothing.
No stream, you'd go out. It was perfect for dates, you know.
We actually liked each other as a human race.
It was just perfect for dates, you know.
Yeah, one thing that the younger generation has to understand, that at one time, society liked each other.
Yeah,
men and women actually dug each other.
Dug each other.
They liked to spend time with each other. They liked to converse. Now you guys just want to FaceTime, you know.
Well, it's the lefties that ruined it, though.
Yeah, well, yeah. Technology is a...
It was feminism. It was feminism. And I encountered that. I didn't know what the... I went out on a date, and she started talking about the women's room. I had not only no idea, I had no interest.
In finding out, either.
Yeah. Like, why is she even... We're going to see Coal Miner's Daughter, this movie that she picked, you know?
Yeah, that was a famous actress who...
Sissy Spacek.
Sissy Spacek,
And I'll never forget. And she starts, you know, yeah, you know... And I didn't even.
But yeah, but it was a chick flick, so you went.
Yeah. And
see, in those days, we would go see your movies.
Yeah.
Just to please you, because, you know, at the end of the night, you know, you got to please me. Uh-huh. Back when the men were gentlemen. Now we won't be seen dead in one of your movies, because there's no benefit whatsoever. It's not like we get any kind of favor whatsoever.
No, but because they're anti-men now. They're anti, you know, they're...
You guys are like dying to stand in line at a food bank.
But they're...
Sorry, not at a food bank, at a sperm bank.
But they're anti-women, too, because they don't make... Women love rom-coms, and they don't even make those anymore, because they're too normal, you know? They're too romantic, you know, girl liking a guy... Tom Hanks or whatever, Meg Ryan, and you know, no, it's unacceptable. It's too heteronormative now. You know?
Yeah. Well, that leads me to your article.
Yeah.
You did a pretty impressive job, I must say.
I was
very moved. Mm. You kind of spiced it up, and you kept on throwing different angles that force us to think, and you combined it with historical battles and the almost like the unexpected decides the victory, basically,
and long term repercussions
and the ironies of our victories were as a result of something.
Because I mentioned battles that were not only won against an overwhelming force, but also, you know, determined the history for that time. It was like an end battle.
What's clear to me is that it's unsuspecting circumstances that could not possibly have been predicted.
Well, one,
decide the victories.
Right. Well, the Athenians chart. Well, go. We can read it.
Just a quick word from our sponsor.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Midway in the culture war, transgenderism may be the hill the left has chosen to die on. Military history is replete with famous battles that turn the tide in war. when a superior force overextended itself in the wrong place at the wrong time. These include the Battle of Marathon in 490 BC, where 10,000 Athenians and 1,000 Greek allies surprise attacked a force of 15,000 Persians, causing them to flee. By the time they reached their ships, the Persians had lost 6,400 men and the Greeks less than 200. The defeat erased the Persian threat to Western civilization for a decade. Then there was Napoleon's unwise invasion of Russia in 1812. His army managed to victoriously march and fight its way into Moscow, but the Russians' harassing retreat and burning of the capital left the soldiers stranded and underfed. Their journey home in the Russian winter plus the tactical attacks on them starved, froze, and routed the French, permanently diminishing Bonaparte. Read more from Lou Aguilar, When Rightist Eyes Are Smiling. The greatest modern example of a war turnaround occurred 82 years ago at the fatefully named Battle of Midway, June 3 to 6, 1942. Four Japanese aircraft carriers sailed on Midway Island, their Zero swatting American fighter planes from the island and shooting down two waves of unprotected torpedo bombers from the U.S. carriers, Hornet and Enterprise. By the hand of God, a third bomber wave caught the Zeros on deck refueling and rearming, and set three carriers ablaze, eventually the fourth. The Japanese military never recovered, and from then on, the Americans took the offensive in World War II. Even absent flaming ships and frozen men, your keen culture war correspondent can report that the tide has turned there as well. I've written for some time that the transgender agenda was a rainbow bridge too far for the left. And by pushing it, for the first time ever, its minions are now in retreat. For a while they had managed to warp reality and bend normalcy with other lunatic ideas, that killing unborn babies, and in some cases born ones, was a reproductive right. That same-sex marriage was equivalent to a husband and wife. That women were physically equal to men. That current anti-white racism can compensate for past anti-black racism. That defunding the police would decrease crime. That removing border obstacles could control immigration. All these canards, promoted by academia and mainstream media, the populace swallowed. So emboldened did this power make leftists, they cross the line into madness, that men can be women, then become pregnant and breastfeed young victims. That their transformation should begin in children, ahead of their surgical butchery to create Frankensteinian nightmares, only unlike Mary Shelley's monster, with non-functional external body parts. And if transgender adherents chose to spare themselves such a mutational horror, merely stating they were the opposite sex made them so. Thus, at the left's insistence, mediocre male athletes could crush champion sportswomen, men could gape at naked girls in female locker rooms, and transgender prisoners could rape and somehow impregnate women inmates. While previously unheard of terms like misgendering and deadnaming became actual hate crimes. For too long, the progressive freaks got away with it, secure in their unceasing cultural victories and power. Their social media hegemony, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, others, canceled any objector or mocker merely for using the wrong pronoun. Just 2 years ago, Twitter suspended the Babylon Bee for naming Biden's most absurd official, out of many choices, Admiral Rachel Levine, the magazine's Man of the Year. That arrogant act started the counteroffensive which today has the left on the run. Last year, an outraged Elon Musk bought Twitter and promptly restored the Babylon Bee account. Last year, the Bee named the ridiculous female impersonator Dylan Mulvaney its 2023 Man of the Year. And this time there wasn't a damn thing the progressive castrati could do about it, except watch their empire crumble, beginning with the once popular, now flopping Mulvaney celebrating beer, Bud Light. Read more, Will Men Make a 1980s-style Comeback? Last week, the anti-trans activist bombs just kept exploding like the Japanese carriers at Midway. In Florida, a court upheld Governor DeSantis's Parental Rights in Education Act, which prohibits classroom instruction about sexual orientation or gender identity in K-3 classrooms. In Kansas, a judge denied the state's Department of Revenue from allowing transgender persons to change their sex classification on their Kansas-issued identification. But the biggest blast took place across the pond in the socialist-sinking United Kingdom. Britain's National Health Service, NHS, just stopped prescribing puberty blockers for children. For the left-compromised ministry to basically acknowledge the irreparable damage these treatments can do to kids should start a chain reaction of sanity around the world. Even the usually reserved Times of London called the practice quack medicine, urging that it be reined in entirely. Nonetheless, terminally woke British territorial states Scotland and Wales stand by the quackery. The Welsh government hopes to make it easier to change gender in Wales. While the Scottish government wants to speed up and simplify the existing process by which people can obtain a gender recognition certificate. Outspoken actor and Reclaim Party leader Lawrence Fox had a brilliant thought about what the UK can do with the two countries. At this time it might be a good idea to just give Wales and Scotland back.
give Wales and Scotland back. Does Wales and Scotland stand a chance to survive without Great Britain economically, or they could?
Well, it's very gray now because they haven't quite accomplished Brexit, so they could still claim EU. You know, they could still make a separate deal with the EU. It's the reason the Conservatives are going to get their asses kicked, which is deservedly, because the people gave them everything. I mean, they just crushed it. And then they had losers like Boris and this woman and Sunak now, and they just...
Well, they got rid of Sunak really... Sunak they have now, but yeah. They got rid of the woman pretty quickly.
Yeah, and she
gave a call for tightening the belt, and socialists don't go for that.
Yeah, and she didn't have the Maggie Thatcher grit, you know, balls.
Yeah.
And the people just fed up. But the Labour Party is even worse. But they're going to, you know.
There's no third party coming out of somewhere?
Not strong enough.
Because what's really admirable about the British is that they scream at each other in Parliament. I love it.
I love the British.
It's hard to be phony in politics there because they rip into each other, right to each other's faces.
I love the British. And
notice we're slowly becoming that, led by Marjorie
Taylor Greene.
She screams all right in every
right.
State of the Union address now.
Right. But it's really killing me because they, you know, with the immigrants, they completely kowtow to the, you know, the Muslim immigrants, and they're, you know,
what are you talking about in Britain?
Yeah, and they're arresting Christians and somebody said something and had in
there's full blown socialism. Want that America? That's what you're gonna get.
No, it's
America's heading in that direction. We're copying the stupidities of Europe.
It's Sharia law. It's worse than
no. There's parts of Great Britain that cops don't even patrol.
And if you complain, they'll.
In previous shows, I brought attention to Muslims buying the most important bull ring in Barcelona.
Yes.
And they turned it into a mosque.
Oh, good. good, because I'm very traditionalist, but bullfighting has always bothered me.
Yeah. See how the feminine comes out in him?
Yeah.
He immediately becomes a girl. He says he's conservative.
I love Hemingway, but no, I can't quite follow him there.
I have a confession to make. The only time I feel like you're feeling, which is quite binary... Yeah. Quite feminine. is deer hunting. I have a tough time.
No.
Firing a high caliber weapon quarter mile away to hit a deer that's just looking at you. It's like, whoa.
Or elephant. Yeah, I saw a movie.
Elephant I don't understand because there's no eating. You know,
they do eat them.
The Africans?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
They don't. The carcass.
They don't waste a bit. It's like the whales. You know, if you read Moby Dick, every inch of the whale serves a different purpose.
Well, of course, half of it is soap.
Yeah.
But when it comes to bullfighting, it's an art. You know, it's not a sport.
Oh, there's no question.
Standing in front of an 1,800-pound bull is pretty impressive.
But the bull doesn't have a chance.
He does.
No, no.
He gets put out the pasture. If he flips the bullfighter...
That never happens.
That guy gets put out. Why? Because they need him for stud.
Yeah, it never happens.
It never happens. But, I haven't seen it happen.
But,
and I've seen not a lot, but no, I've seen my share of football bullfights. I got to see bullfights in Barcelona. I also got to see bullfights in Cartagena, Colombia.
There's a science fiction classic by Arthur C. Clarke, who wrote 2001, you know, Space. But it's called Childhood's End, and I highly recommend it. It's a very...
Repeat it so that people look it up.
Childhood's End by Arthur C. Clarke. It's a science fiction classic from, I think, the early 60s. And what happens is... an alien master race lands and takes over. I mean, there's no fighting because, you know, Earth doesn't have a chance. They just, all of a sudden, there's like 100 ships all over the place.
Really? And so they come by sea?
Yeah, no.
Spaceships. Starships. Hello?
Yeah, and they just land. And it starts out with this guy whose, like, dream is to go to Mars. And he wakes up one day all excited about the Mars trip he's got in mind, you know, the way a NASA thing.
To think there's someone who grew up that way and he's doing it.
And when he goes out and opens the window, he says... His whole life is for nothing because there's like alien starships.
Yeah, the Martians are here.
Yeah, all over the place.
So how does it? What's
there's all these twists, but for the very beginning, they say, we're not going to interfere. We're not going to interfere with anything you guys do. You know,
like us and the government during COVID.
We have, yeah,
we'll do whatever you say.
We have our plan. You know, we have our plan. The only thing that we're going to say is you cannot harm animals for the heck of it. You know, that's all.
That's the only thing we told the Martians they can't do.
No. The Martians are in control. They're not
Martians.
They're not Martians.
You made it look like that was a condition.
They're not Martians. They just say, go about your business. The overlords, it's what they're called. That's what they're called. The alien race is called the overlords. Say to the Earth people, you know, okay, we're here. We have our plans. We're working on something. You can go about your business. The only thing is you cannot harm animals. You cannot bring pain to animals.
They're defenseless.
Yeah.
And obviously it impacted you because you become a total wolf.
No, that's not it.
Protecting bulls.
The very next thing takes place at a bullfight.
Am I right or what?
And there's Barcelona.
That guy's completely twisted.
And there's Barcelona, and everyone's watching. You know, the
now he's shivering in a corner reading this book.
And everybody is like, you know, cheering the matador. And as soon as the picadors strike the bull, everybody in the audience feels it. I mean, everybody.
The overlords.
They're just like, you know, they just feel, and they're, you know, and that's it. You know,
that's a good scene.
That's a great. I mean,
that should be a movie, man.
They made it a TV miniseries. Not bad, but yeah, you never forget that, you know.
Well, I can see that since I didn't see I didn't read the book, but I can see that you want to save bulls.
Those were the great days of science fiction. You know?
Well, I love bullfighting too much to want to save the bulls.
I understand.
I got to see where they take the bulls when they do get killed. I've been back there, and it's pretty gory.
Yeah,
The master swordsman slice up the bull and give it to the poor. After the matador has put him down. You know what the art is?
Yeah, the art is the,
get between the shoulder blades so that the sword goes straight to the heart.
I never
brought it to its knees.
I understand the art and I admire the artistry.
The guts.
But I just don't.
Well, and the practicing, man, you got to be in front of bulls every day to wait for the bullfight. And you don't kill the bull in practice. You only do it on the day of the battle, and it's a dance. It really is art.
Look,
it's art, man. It's really impressive, and it's a wonderful afternoon. Great entertainment. I mean, you start there like 12 in the afternoon.
I can't do it, man. That's all. And I have a friend, neighbor, a dog. You know, I run into her all the time from Spain in the dog walk, and she says, I completely agree with you.
Well, guess what? It was so popular that this generation is not interested, and now they have the worst thing that could possibly happen: a mosque in the middle of Barcelona. And flooding Barcelona with Muslims from all over the world because this mosque is huge. All they do is put a roof over the bull ring. And I think it's the one that I was at. I don't know for sure because I don't have memory of the name and all that, but it was right in the dead center of a beautiful area of Barcelona. It was in quite a large ring.
Well, anyway, going back to my...
going back to England, sorry. I don't know why.
Going back to my brilliant piece, it's funny... Because I talk about that, and you were asking about Scotland and Wales.
Yeah,
the best and Ireland, the best are here. You know, the ones that are left are weenies. However,
are you saying that the highly skilled Britishmen are in the States?
Read my previous article because we didn't do a show.
We didn't do a show of the previous article, which lays into this or no?
Yeah, they were actually kind of a combo.
They go together, and this one is titled "When Rightist Eyes Are Smiling."
Yes.
Okay, so you want us to listen? So we're doing a double whammy.
We're doing a double because it all ties together.
Okay, but should I
go?
I should have played this first, but
yeah.
Oh well.
When Rightist Eyes Are Smiling, from Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling to Nayib Bukele and Javier Milei, conservatism has logged some recent victories. Or as long as I've been alive. The left has dominated the media. Though its earlier minions weren't psychotic or Orwellian about it as they are now. They didn't cancel or ban non-compliant journalism, fiction, and even social media messaging as they are now. And they stopped well short of lunatic fantasy, like men can be women and get pregnant. Until they realized they could force their fantasies on normal people too spineless to resist their indoctrination. Eventually, they discovered that the more they pushed extremity, the more the masses bent to it. Hence, President Obama could go from publicly opposing same-sex marriage in 2008, "I believe that marriage is a union between a man and a woman, for me as a Christian, It is also a sacred union to lighting up the White House in rainbow colors the day the Supreme Court legalized the practice in 2015. Then, just 2 years later, the state of Colorado could sue a Christian baker for denying his craft to a gay wedding celebration. At least the Supreme Court ruled rightly if incompletely in his case on the basis of religious freedom. Read more from Lou Aguilar, The Star Trek Election, Part 2, Biden's Brain. Around the same time, with the internet exploding, media leftists discovered they could convert cultural influence into political power to overcome popular common sense. Consequently, they got progressive simps Justin Trudeau elected Prime Minister of Canada, Leo Varadkar Taoiseach of Ireland, and Hillary Clinton almost President of the United States. Clinton's tight loss to Donald Trump in 2016 shocked the left into violating all ethical standards before the 2020 presidential election. After the totally fabricated hoax about Russia collusion did President Trump serious political damage, the media and deep state took two historically unprecedented and contemptible steps ahead of election 2020. 1. They banned and canceled the New York Post, America's oldest newspaper, founded by Alexander Hamilton, for accurately reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop. Twitter and Facebook even disabled the Post account, and that of any person commenting on it. 2. They published a letter by 51 corrupt and partisan former intelligence officials dismissing the Post story as Russian misinformation. The erasure of this completely true reportage helped defeat Trump and elect the ultimate progressive simp, Joe Biden, president. The following year, Justin Trudeau was re-elected PM of Canada, and 1 year after that, Varadkar of Ireland. It seemed as if Marxist beta manhood leadership was globally on the march. But several polycultural events since then appear to tell a different tale of woe for the left. By far the most significant was Elon Musk's purchase of Twitter in April 2022. Ironically, thanks to Musk, future generations may not suspect just how close America came to losing one of its greatest constitutional rights, the freedom of speech. The left's total monopoly of communication and assault on its free exercise, under the pretense of quashing disinformation and hate speech, was almost a fait accompli. Read more, The Conservative Writer's Block. Only a man as powerful as Musk could have stopped this, for those even close to his level, such as Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, were and are against him. The proof lies in the ongoing corporate media statist attacks on him. Not only did major companies stop advertising on X, formerly Twitter, over a lie about Musk being anti-Semitic, but last month, a Delaware court voided his $56 billion Tesla pay package. Judge Kathleen McCormick probably couldn't run a coffee house, let alone put men on Mars, yet she can cancel a legitimate hard-earned transaction. Nonetheless, Musk's X purchase seems to have helped break the left's hegemony, at least internationally. In November of 2023, conservative candidate Javier Milei won the Argentinian presidential election by, as CNN put it, wrenching his country to the right with a bombastic anti-establishment campaign that drew comparisons to former U.S. President Donald Trump. Last week, Milei fired 5,000 government employees, so he off to a great start. Last month, rightist El Salvadoran President Nayib Bukele won a landslide re-election, 85% of the vote. His incredible victory came after, as Reuters put it, voters cast aside concerns about erosion of democracy to reward him for a fierce gang crackdown that transformed security in the Central American country. Bukele is another world leader the left compares to Trump. Across the pond, in My Troubled Camelot, Great Britain, the most successful author of all time has had enough, and she's gone on X to show it. J.K. Rowling began her defense of women a few years ago as a kinder, gentler critic of transgender activism. But after enduring some of the bitterest, angriest insults on record, plus the usual lefty attempts to cancel her and her properties, like the Harry Potter video game Hogwarts Legacy, Rowling has become a witty Voldemort. On Sunday, she tweeted, "Happy birthing parent day to all whose large gametes were fertilized, resulting in small humans whose sex was assigned by doctors making mostly lucky guesses." Read more, The Decline and Fall of Hollywoke. And just in time for St. Patrick's Day, last Saturday, Irish voters overwhelmingly rejected two constitutional amendments that sought to broaden, read Woken, the definition of family. One of the amendments would have removed the statement that a woman's place is in the home. It went down in flames, burning insufferably progressive Prime Minister Varadkar, who had aggressively pushed for the reform. "When you lose by this kind of margin, there are a lot of people who got this wrong," Varadkar said. "And I am certainly one of them."
Unbelievable that that's going on in Ireland. And what? women are, hello ladies, if you don't realize that either you save the country and put Roe v. Wade on the back burner in the heart of hearts and realize we're fighting for kids and it should be sent to the state and you can't vote in the next election based on that, save the country from itself. You saw it in Ireland. Women saying, you know what? There's no reason why women shouldn't be the masters of the home. They should be defended. What is it you guys are waiting for? So what if you have daughters that don't agree with you? Teach them they're wrong. Without women, there is no human race. And if you guys aren't reproducing, then what the hell are you doing?
What you've just said is more eloquent than any Republican, you know, office holder or candidate has ever said, including, unfortunately,
the Uniparty can't talk that way.
Yeah, and including, unfortunately, the leading candidate, the nominee for the Republican presidency.
Well, guess what? He made it very clear that he's anti-abortion, and he had to come a long way to become anti-abortion.
Yeah.
He wasn't always.
No.
At least he came around. So Reagan came around, too. Love Reagan all the time.
So here's what happened.
Some people, you know, the best Republicans have always been ex-Democrats. Who said that? Who said that?
Reagan.
No. Who said in a statement on Fox News? Krautheimer said,
Krautheimer.
The best Republicans are ex-Democrats. And that is true. Some of us Republicans, believe me, he's not held harmless here. You know, some Republicans aren't really conservative. Okay, fine. Reagan wasn't necessarily conservative until he came to power.
Correct.
No, then he became more conservative as he was in power.
No, that's not quite right.
He didn't govern California that conservative.
No, but the Barry Goldwater speech changed his
heart. And he admitted so.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an ex-Dixiecrat.
Yeah.
Then Trump, and seeing the varmint and the vermin that was Hillary Clinton, he became more conservative.
Well,
he didn't govern conservatively, but he did what we wanted, which was massive military investment and tax cuts.
Yeah, but his legacy, the judges were
excuse me. Yeah. I stand corrected. I forgot to leave the big one, which is that we have to give some credit to someone we're not fond of, Mitch McConnell, who marshaled all that stuff in as Senate president.
Yeah, but he said, I'm going to
At the same time, they could have stepped in on the 2020 election and really audited the states, and they chose not to. They stood down.
But Trump said, I'm going to pick from this list, and that was a big...
Brilliant. Yeah. Let everybody know what he actually stood for.
So since my two pieces...
The Federalist Society delivered.
Since my first piece that you just read just now... This is what happened.
By the way, I don't read that well. AI doesn't really do it with context and pause, but he reads better than Lou Wright. I'm assuming he AI guy.
Well,
I'll meet this AI guy one day.
I talked about the agenda.
Do you guys even know who the voice is, or is it a hired subcontractor?
It's
software.
Yeah, software. Yeah. But anyway, right after that came out. Not a couple of days ago, but the previous Monday.
Yeah, so I should have played that one first. Had he told me, I would have played it first.
Right, but I was talking about, you know, Milei in Argentina, the Salvador guy. The day after that, on Monday...
Unfortunately, with El Salvador, Bukele needs to stay another 20 years to fix that.
This is why I'm cutting edge. This is why everyone should read my article and subscribe to my columns and subscribe to the American Spectator, where you get brilliant, prescient writing such as mine. Because what happened the very next day, Monday, Portugal had an election where the conservative flipped it and won, you know.
The world is time to change, man. Yeah. The lefties think...
Right.
Left can't govern. I think they've proven that.
So this came. So this the other one that you read about, the transgender stuff, and in that article I mentioned the Prime Minister of
Ireland
yesterday. Today
he was the one that pushing for the lesbian redefining
between
a man and a woman, woman and woman, man and a man. That's a legitimate family.
Correct. The
world of Buttigieg.
Right. Yeah, it changed the language, and the Irish people, shockingly,
said no.
Said not now, go away. And today he quit.
He resigned.
The Prime Minister of Ireland quit.
Wow.
Because of that, and because of my article.
Wait a second.
I embarrassed him.
What about Blink Radio? Who announced it?
That was too late. But
jeez.
But he quit today, and he went whining and crying away.
Are there any Megyn Kellys over there in Ireland that gave credit to your article?
Megyn, how
liberals don't believe what you just said. People, half the liberals here on Key Biscayne are standing on their head saying, how dare they? You know, and of course, even more audacious is that Blink Radio has something to do with it. But that's okay. You know what I mean? You know, so can we like gravitate towards C-SPAN today? Because I watched a lot of C-SPAN today and watched the testimony against the Bidens.
Yeah, I can't do it, man, because nothing's going to come of it, and it just bores the.
You know what you sound like, Murkowski, here of Broward, Fort Lauderdale congressman. He said the same thing as you.
Bores the.
See what I mean? See what I mean? The country's at stake.
And I don't want to be, no, because.
And he says he's bored.
I don't want to be like the other side.
You're a popcorn politician.
Every time there was some kind of legal attack against Trump, they would say, the walls are closing in. He'll be in prison. You know, and, you know.
That's a false equivalency, what you just made.
This is worse than Watergate.
This is emails. This is wire transfer, bank receipts.
No.
Conversations.
It's so corrupt. You it's not going to.
And Murkowski. A Jewish fella from Fort Lauderdale, he's sitting there in the first row in this committee meeting, and he says, why don't they call for impeachment right now? Because they don't have the evidence. They just won't do it. Nothing's going to become of it. And you meant to say that Senate will block it. I get that.
Nothing's going to happen.
Nothing's going to happen in the Senate, but doesn't mean they shouldn't impeach in the House.
Yeah, it should.
And I don't think Democrats would impeach.
Don't waste my time.
Don't waste my time. So Bubba Linsky, who obviously was cut out of a deal, very annoyed, says this today in his opening statement.
For 2 decades at the Veterans Administration, we've lived our life as a family in service to this great country. I hope the American people will pay close attention to this hearing. I also hope they will understand that some members of this committee will engage in absurd attacks and efforts to try to deflect attention from the facts. And I will present today by questioning my integrity and my patriotic duty. You may see me speak passionately at this hearing, but for good reason. Not only was I willing to die for this country, every single male member of my immediate family was willing to die for this country. I want to be crystal clear. From my direct personal experience and what I've subsequently come to learn, it is clear to me that Joe Biden was the brand being sold by the Biden family. His family's foreign influence peddling operation from China to Ukraine and elsewhere sold out the foreign actors who are seeking to gain influence and access to Joe Biden and the United States government. Prior to my successful business career, I was an officer for over 6 years in the United States Navy's elite Naval Nuclear Power Training Command as a decorated master training specialist. I later served as the commander's chief technology officer, where I held a huge security clearance from the Department of Energy and the NSA. When I left Nuclear Power Training Command, I was the number one ranked direct input officer in the entire command. And then I jumped into the business world and public markets. While I have made a few contributions over the years to Democrats, such as Representative Ro Khanna, I don't see him, but I hope he shows up today. He sits on the Democratic side of the Oversight Committee. I'm not a political person. I come from a family with a long history of distinguished service in our nation's military, including my father, both of my grandfathers, and my brother, all of whom were willing to sacrifice their lives for this great country.
So, as you can see, it's one of those situations where you realize the crime family is profoundly on the take.
But we've known that forever, for now, like 3 years now.
And
four years.
And we'd rather beat him in an election than impeach him.
And I talk about that. I talk about that in that other piece about the laptop story. I was completely quashed by social media. I mean,
during the elections of 2019.
Yeah, 2020. And you couldn't.
2020, 2019.
And you couldn't even.
And they had the laptop for so long.
Right. And if you even mention it, you'd be banned. You'd be canceled. It was just.
Well, I noticed that when I posted what I just played over the air, I posted it. No one's seen it on the. On Facebook, and although it's easy for me to say, you know what, maybe just me, nobody cares what I say, you know? But every once in a while, someone comes out of somewhere and says this, and guess what? I believe I'm shadow banned. I believe there's too many people who make comments days later when they release the shadow ban that people see my post and start making comments, but 3 days go by.
Right.
And there's nothing really interesting that the mass media hasn't already put out there, or conservative mass media has put out there, but my spin on it, I think, is worthy of some kind of attention by the very people, the 2,000 or 3,000 people that follow me on Facebook. I have another plug of a guy, Jonathan Kahn, that I think you should listen to. He analyzes the State of the Union address, and he points out every single time Joe Biden lies. So I'm going to play that now, you know? It's one of those situations where it really annoys me because I could talk and talk and talk all until I'm blue in the face, but the truth is, if you don't hear it yourself, because you don't have the time, because, you know, you're a workaholic, because your wife puts you to fix stuff, you know, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. So I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you. But I like to think that you would enjoy this in some capacity, you know, some understanding of there's some people out there that are just fed up with this stuff. You know, it's just fed up with the lies, fed up with everything. I mean, come on. Here we go.
Gave his State of the Union address, and it was major. The Republicans gave their response. This is going to be my response to the president's State of the Union address, because there were a lot of things said, a lot of things shouted, and a lot of things hidden, and there was deception, and we need to expose it. This is Jonathan Kahn, and this is where these messages and prophetic updates are going to come from. If you're not subscribed, to not miss them, hit subscribe. Now, I'm not going to get into the issue of the Ukraine, taxes, immigration, or the economy. The economy, the president basically said the economy is better than ever. And if you believe that the economy is better than ever, they have medication for that. But what I'm going to focus on is what he said that most touches on good and evil. And we're going to expose deception. Ready? Let's begin with the first clip.
Like most Americans, I believe Roe v. Wade got it right.
Actually, most Americans believe there should be limits on the killing of the unborn after 3 months of pregnancy. Biden and the Democratic Party are campaigning to have it legalized up to birth, killing a baby basically up to birth. The same baby that would have been protected if it was 1 minute later can be killed 1 minute before. And babies in the womb suck their thumb way before birth. But the president and the Democratic Party, they are without question advocating that babies who suck their thumbs can be legally murdered and should be if the mother wants to murder them.
I thank Vice President Harris for being an incredible leader defending reproductive freedom.
Reproductive freedom. Notice what's happening here. He's avoiding the A word. This is called a euphemism. He's using words and phrases to avoid saying that word that describes the killing of an unborn baby. What does that mean? It's a dead giveaway that something's being covered up. And it's a dead giveaway in this case that something is evil, or you wouldn't have to hide it. He's replacing abortion with reproductive freedom, so he doesn't have to tell you that it's about killing babies in the womb.
Defending reproductive freedom.
Notice the words reproductive freedom. It's the exact opposite. It's not reproductive, it's anti-reproductive. It's stopping reproduction and freedom. What is that? Same strategy of calling it choice.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, when I play the very specifics of what we're trying to articulate here,
but it wasn't specific.
He thinks he's more entertaining.
We have a job. We're getting highly paid to get our communication across.
Don't say that out loud. Him is listening. He's sitting at home asking for more money. You know he's not here because he wants 50 cents more a minute.
We have to earn our pay, damn it.
Damn. Well, I wasn't going to play the entire 30 minutes.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Quite frankly, I didn't mean to play the Roe v. Wade stuff. I wanted to play the stuff about being on the tape.
The language.
I don't know where it is in the 30 minutes.
The language control is through the roof. Reproductive rights instead of killing babies, you know, and
yeah, but I didn't mean to
transgender.
I didn't mean to go there. But then again, it was appropriate since I asked women
gender
vote for your country. Donald Trump is not coming over for dinner. Okay, he's not coming over for dinner.
Well, let's talk about the election. I still maintain Byron Donalds as you know.
Total homie. Although he did a great job today. You know what he did today? He showed receipts from Chinese banks directly into Biden's accounts.
But what happened?
CCP, by the way, not CCP. CFC, the big conglomerate.
He's my man, and I think that would be an unstoppable ticket.
No, you're wrong.
However,
the unstoppable ticket is Governor Abbott.
Oh my God! You're
that's wall victory.
You're so freaking off the, you know.
Yeah,
he's a bad coach.
There hasn't been a guy in a wheelchair since FDR.
It doesn't
it's time.
Matter. It doesn't matter.
Come on, he represents
no
1,700 miles.
Work.
I mean, 750 miles of the 1,800 mile border.
No,
it's a slam dunk.
No.
Okay, who's your second pick? Because Byron ain't
the guy who's
Byron won't be the pick.
The guy who's ahead of the ticket right now, the guy who's in the lead right now for the ticket.
Who?
Well, let me.
You think Byron's number one?
No, I don't think so.
Mike Pompeo, I believe, is number one.
No, stop it. Just this is the guy, okay? Something happened.
I wanted to be the governor of Arkansas.
No, it's not her.
She's very articulate. And she fights well. And Trump knows.
I'm telling you who it is, and you're still talking.
Somebody told you something in the lunchroom at American Spectator.
No,
and they never write.
No, listen to me. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna lead the audience to the truth, okay? Since you, that even you.
Go ahead, Moses. Lead
even
us.
Even you will see it.
Lead us, Moses.
Something happened yesterday in the primary, the Republican primary in Ohio, that was a big deal.
The Senate, his homie. Not gonna take that
Ohio.
Guy. Okay, but the homie, his Moreno guy, who won.
Moreno guy won.
What? He's gonna put him as vice president after he won in Ohio? Of course not.
You're an idiot.
Shh.
Sorry. Here. Listen to me, okay? Moreno won. He wasn't supposed to win until Trump and somebody else,
the other senator. He won't take him out. We need him as senators, for Christ's sake. You're crazy. They're not gonna pick a senator where the slim margin is so slim we can't. Ted Cruz is not going to be attorney general either.
So Ohio is becoming another Florida. He's the man.
That they will not put Vance as
J.D.
vice president.
J.D. Vance is the man.
He won't be vice president.
He's number one.
We need him in the Senate.
I don't care. I know what you're saying. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't work that way. You pick a vice president.
You don't understand.
First of all, Trump will not pick someone who's super smarter than him. Okay?
Yes, he.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm not saying
will.
That Vance is. But he won't pick someone that might outdo him or nothing. He's looking for an heir apparent. There it's going to be a governor.
Okay.
The exception to that rule is someone he's already worked with military,
I will
Pompeo.
I will bet you right now. Okay?
It's going to be Vance.
Yeah. I bet you right now it's going to be Vance or Donald. But I'm leaning Vance.
I can't bet you on Abbott because I don't think he's even thinking about Abbott, although he should.
No, forget Abbott.
Remember, you should listen to me.
Okay.
I
just led you to the
blink
truth.
Blink once I said it and blink twice.
I just led you to the truth.
Now, the safe pick, is Huckleberry Sanders.
Huckleberry Sanders.
Huckabee Sanders.
Forget Huckleberry.
Why? Because he knows how she operates.
Forget
She's
Huckleberry.
She's successful. She just overcame cancer. She's the perfect woman to be the first president
no,
of the United
she's
States.
Not the perfect woman. Neither
Because Kamala is not the perfect
vice
president.
Neither is the hot stuff from South Dakota.
That's unpredictable for him.
Yeah.
She's very loyal, but you don't know where she's coming from.
Who? The hottie?
Christy Noem.
The hottie Christy Noem is not.
I don't know where she would fit in the cabinet either.
She had her chance. She blew it.
Why?
The trans athlete thing.
Oh, that would come out. So that's a good point. So she's out for that.
She's out.
Because she tried to, she went with the crowd on that one.
Right.
Not good. Especially in a state like South Dakota.
And this is, so it's Vance or Donald?
No, man. No congressman's going to be vice president.
Dinner.
Huh?
Bet you a dinner.
McDonald's. this guy's a pompous D.C. diner. He could put me under if I lose that bet. All right. I'll bet you dinner, you all pinhead. Right. In fact, you can take me to McDonald's and that'd be enough.
We'll know in a month. When's the convention?
May. You know, he could pick vice president right now.
Right, no, but he'll probably wait.
I would say when he realizes that Biden won't debate him, he'll pick a vice president.
When is the freaking GOP convention?
August.
August?
Yeah. Mm. You know what I mean? In fact, let's stand corrected. Anybody know? Well, guess what? You can't call a radio station because I'm not interested in what you're saying. So just go to Google and say, Republican convention, here we go. What do you think? What's your prediction? Should we hold a poll? Who remembers? When the Republican convention?
I'm looking it up. We don't need the deplorables.
I'm having trouble.
We don't need the deplorables anymore.
I'm having trouble spelling. there was a word you used in your article. I meant to ask you. Willoughby, Willoughby, what was, you said something fantastic. That's a word that just blew me out of the water. It's July the 15th or July the 18th in Milwaukee.
Midway. Oh, July. Okay, July.
July, so I was wrong. I was off by only a month.
That's coming around, that's coming around the corner.
We're coming around the corner. And what did this, even though she resigned, is she still host of the convention?
No. Rama?
Yeah, she won't?
No, she's out.
So it'd be Laura handling the convention?
Yeah, Laura and the guy.
Dude, and Laura can dress up, man. I saw her in Cleveland. That was quite a thing. Saw all the Trumps in Cleveland, and they're just as good looking in person as they are on TV. Everybody in that family, I mean, I saw an expose today, 30-minute expose. Of course, it was a beautiful expose on Barron, the son, who's now 6'8". And it was a wonderful description of how he was raised by Melania without nannies. And it must have drove all the people with grievances, drove standing on their head, because she raised him like you and I and our wives should have raised our children. Well, I shouldn't include Lou there because, you know, he's got that issue, you know, with that girlfriend of his that he's still talking about. But in my case, my kids were not raised with nannies either. And he apparently makes fashion statements. Of course, he's got the affluence to be able to buy the latest and the greatest, but apparently the way he dresses, his whole generation is dressing. That came out in the expose. How he was raised was very peculiar because, believe it or not, Donald, even though he admits that he wouldn't touch a pamper, he definitely was involved in everything else, all the playing and the doodling and the dressing and the tie. Hmm. He'd go out and they spent an afternoon buying ties together since he was like 5 years old. Hmm. So he learned to love ties like Trump does. And also, of course, great schools, you know, private schools, sure, and stuff. And a great golfer already.
Oh, wow. He's
done a lot of rounds of golf with his
dad. There's some pedophile.
They call him Mini Don. And now, it'd be totally inappropriate for you to discuss that word for the whole reason. Why would that fit in the Byron story? You go ahead and throw the word out there. I mean,
it's tacky. There's a new story.
How could that be mixed?
There's a new story. Okay.
If I were talking about showering with your daughter and Biden, I would say, okay, talk
everything
about
Biden. Everything I say is relevant, okay?
Yeah, Barron and pedophilia is relevant. That sucks. All right. You throw the
brand
two.
New story, hot air.
Jeez.
By now, everybody with an ounce of sense knows that Hollywood is filled with child molesters and degenerates.
What does that have to do with Barron?
The stories of sexual abuse are legion. Yesterday, I was reading about an executive at Nickelodeon who was a creepy pedo, and today's example is a former NBC Universal executive, Mike Singleton, who has displayed a creepy obsession with Barron Trump.
Oh!
Celebrating the fact that the former president's son is now 18
and kicking his ass.
And fair game.
That's still tacky.
You
brought it up at the worst freaking time.
No. You brought up Barron. I'm telling you that he's in the public eye, and there's creeps coming out of the woodwork about this guy.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay. Well, there is legislation out there.
I know.
I was at a meeting in Doral with Paul Brenner, and he's a Speaker of the House of Florida. I hope I pronounced his last name correctly. I think it's Brennan or Remmer. No, Rennan. Sorry, folks. You know, senior moments. But anyway, I was there for the obvious reason for the school amendment. And he was very articulate about passing laws on social media where kids under the age of 15 have to be on their parents' email accounts. They can't have their own. So parents are forced to ask and delve into what their kids are frolicking about. So if adult men who are sick in the head are communicating with them, it'll show up on their parents' accounts.
Right.
So giving parents more of a layup opportunity to raise their children because these kids are being seduced by these sickos.
Right.
While you're sleeping. Because you fall asleep before your kids. Your kids stay up at 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. They're still up.
Right.
Completely intoxicated by social media.
Okay. So
yeah. So
I wasn't being creepy. I was just bringing...
No, you were being creepy. At a time where I was talking
You're talking about Barron. I mean, he's in the news.
The wonderful life of Barron.
He's in the freaking news.
Yeah, he's always in the news.
But there's perverts after him.
He's in the news for his fashion statements and what a cool guy he is.
I understand that.
And he's the same age as his, not his siblings, he's the same age as his nephews and...
I understand.
30-year difference between...
I'm trying to tell you...
Junior and Barron, and they're brothers.
The creepiness of the left is...
I understand, man, right. But you know...
All right.
I'm talking family moment here, and you drop the creepy... This is the product of not
Never forget who we're fighting, my friend.
Yeah, uh-huh. And never forget that I have children and you don't. So there's a place for everything, man. God. I feel like punishing you by going straight back to Jonathan Kahn so we can see that he thinks clearer than both of us.
Jonathan Kahn?
I just ran into him on the net. He breaks down. Everything that I'm thinking, he's actually articulating. And for the radio,
who is he?
I don't know his pedigree. He definitely doesn't write for the American Spectator. He's probably too expensive for you guys to hire him anyway. But I really don't know much about him. I don't know anything about him, actually. But this 30-minute piece was a total shakedown, breakdown of State of the Union.
And all
the crap that they talked about was disgusting how they deceive you. The left has always deceived you. Always, 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 always.
Oh, yeah, no. Like, everything they say is...
For like 100 years now.
And the destruction that they have wrought on America and American cities, they destroyed...
They just can't govern.
Destroyed every city, and we gave them the freaking country, the whole freaking country to destroy. By the way... The Babylon Bee, another website that I strongly recommend.
Yeah, very humorous. Yeah. Satire on steroids. Okay.
They had a headline today, Mexico building a wall to keep the immigrants from coming back.
Yeah, it's the saddest thing. We got rid of Americans. You got rid of the wall guy, and look what you got. Now, guess who what? The people that you wanted... To in office instead of we people. Guess what? Those people are going to employ you, not me. Okay, you're going to be unemployed, not I. I'll probably be hiring them at less than minimum wage because you're going to jack up the minimum wage to 20.
By the way, there's no word yet from the appeals court about the Texas law, man.
They gave them the right to arrest.
Supreme Court gave another, and then an appeals court belayed it.
Well, the Supreme Court handed it down. The appeals court is shot, unless they have a spin on it.
What?
The Supreme Court already gave...
They sent it back. It doesn't work that way. No.
Okay, they sent it back to the appeals court.
Right, and the appeals court said, we're putting a pause on the arrest stuff now.
Okay, so right now they're not arresting.
Right now the Texas
Because the Supreme Court sent it back to the appeal, right. who they told them.
It was a different appeals court.
It's a different court.
Appeals court, and these people said, you can't arrest people. And that's where it is right now.
Yeah, because the Constitution
said... So the other appeals court is listening to it now, and that decision is going to be the final appeals court decision.
And what do you know what district that they...
I don't know the Texas.
No, because if it's the fourth or the sixth, the one out over there in San Francisco, we're doomed.
No, yeah. It's Texas, not California.
Well, I don't think there's two. Are there two districts in Texas that it could be heard?
I don't know.
Two federal districts? Here comes Google again. You know what can I tell you?
I wish I knew. However, I believe it's a Texas. I don't know. However, whatever decision they make, if they decide that the Texans can arrest people, the DOJ will appeal to the Supreme Court. Okay, or if the appeals court decide that they can't arrest, then Texas will appeal to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court will have to decide again. And this time they have nobody to send it to. They have to make the decision, right?
Well, there's a fourth, the fifth, the third, the tenth. But since I didn't Google correctly, the U.S. Court of Appeals.
Right.
These could be state courts that I just mentioned. So here, another better improve my search here. The appellate division represents the United States on appeal before the U.S. Court of Appeals on the 5th District.
Right now.
But it's based in New Orleans. You think they would have sent it there?
Right now they can't arrest.
Right now they can't.
They cannot.
And it's in go. And you're saying it's...
So the other appeals court was supposed to decide today.
Do you know if it was at state or federal? It would be a federal appeals court,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the District Court of Appeals is the ones I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And the Fifth District that I mentioned, federal-wise, the Fifth Circuit Court, it's actually based in New Orleans, and you're saying that they sent it to someone? You don't know where, though.
So we're waiting on that so it can go back to the Supreme Court, basically.
Well, apparently it's United States Courts of Appeals of the Fifth Circuit. The Eastern District is Louisiana. The Northern District is Mississippi. And yes, there's a lot of districts. Eastern District of Texas, Northern District of Texas, Southern District
okay,
of
this
Texas,
is, this
Western
is,
District.
This is what I'm waiting for. This is supposed to come down today, okay? However, according to Reuters, the U.S. Appeals Court panel on Wednesday seems divided over whether to continue blocking a Republican-backed Texas law that would empower, or not. So now it's a three-judge panel. So somebody can't make up his freaking mind or her freaking mind.
Do those decisions
probably
have to be unanimous, or can it
no,
be two to
no,
one?
No, it's not going to. There's two judges opposed, so there's a third
oh,
one.
Oh, so it's 1-2.
Right.
Not 2-1.
It's 1-1. Somebody has to make the
oh,
middle
right now,
one.
So you're saying right now it's tied.
Right now it's tied.
Ooh.
And this other person can't, obviously a chick, Circuit Judge Priscilla Richmond. Okay.
And she's on the fence?
Nelson seems to struggle to answer Richmond's repeated questions about how the law would work. Okay. So anyway, that's what's delaying it. It's supposed to come down today, so...
And it hasn't.
It has not.
So the suspense is killing us.
Yeah,
here.
It's just...
I find it hard to believe that the state would be able to supersede the federal government in enforcing the border. I don't know what angle... Would this
it's not a state court. It's a U.S. appeals court.
I know, but what authority would the state represent in court that gives them the right, because the federal government doesn't do it, that they should have the right to keep
it's in the
their,
Texas it's in the
Texas Constitution.
Yeah, it's Constitution.
That they have to ensure the safety of their citizens.
Yeah, and I think it's in the U.S. Constitution. I have to look it up. However. That's what we're waiting for, and apparently they didn't reach a decision today.
We're back to the ladies. Right. Women, hello. Save this country from itself.
They can't.
Well, they're in positions of power, my friend.
Scott Adams, the humorist, who's very bright, persuasive.
Hello, if you guys don't vote Donald Trump's in presidency.
He says the Democratic Party.
You don't understand what's coming,
the
man.
The Democratic Party and all the left, this is a quote.
Remember when Obama tried to sell out the ICANN supervisory role of the internet to the whole world, hand it away from the United States after we invented the freaking network, the United States invented the internet network. Think about it. Well, think of those kind of things being handed over to like a United Nations council. I mean, they've already invited the United Nations during the Obama administration to do practice sessions here, military sessions in the United States.
According to Scott Adams, who's a very, he's the Dilbert cartoonist, but he's also a master, an expert on persuasion. He says that the Democratic Party has been taken over by bat bleep crazy women. Okay, you know.
So my point is well taken.
Yes.
How come it takes you so long to come around?
No, I'm saying jeez. Appealing to them, appealing to girls will not make, you know, will not help.
Well, hello, I'm appealing to the majority.
The majority.
They're controlling this. Women voted for Biden.
The majority
like
right
now,
true, a lot of them are coming.
Didn't the suburban women hate Trump?
They're coming back.
Stop hating. He's not coming over for dinner.
They're coming back to reason.
Do you like being poor? Do you like $3.80 a gallon in gas? Do you like that you can't afford to feed your kids? Do you like taxes going back up to what? What do you think the wealth is going to do in this country? They're going to bail. They're going to go overseas again. I mean, Trump had $11 trillion available abroad in American companies abroad, and he encouraged them to bring some of this money back with low taxes. You're going to jack up the taxes so the money stays overseas? Think about it. It's like, what's his name from the Shark Tank?
Mark Cuban.
No, the other one. Oh, Cuban's a lefty.
Yeah, but he defended Trump. Did you hear that today?
Please tell us.
Well, Ted Lieu, an idiot Democrat in Congress.
Congressman.
Right.
The worst of the worst.
Said that Trump is broke because if he's really a billionaire, why can't he pay the $500,000?
Because he's not a drug dealer. He's not Chavez of Mexico.
And so obviously, he's full of crap. So Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban doesn't have a half a billion either.
No, the guy Ted Lieu said it about Trump.
I understand, but
Mark Cuban doesn't have, who hates Trump,
says I'll give him the money.
No,
that's what said, we want.
About his own side, about Ted Lieu, he says, this guy knows nothing about liquidity or business.
Especially illiquid assets like real estate. Yeah. You got rents coming in, but the buildings take forever to sell.
So
you
Mark
couldn't sell a building in 10 days anyway.
Mark Cuban, who hates Trump, but this is a businessman, and said to the congressman, you know, knock it off. You don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, man, it's... You can have all the wealth you can imagine in real estate, but it doesn't mean that it's liquid. It's not. It's based on tax rolls and, of course, appraised value that you have the right.
I do think some...
I have the right to say the building that I'm standing in is worth $100 million.
I do think...
And you have the right to contest that if I'm asking you for a loan. You have the right to come up with your own number. But it's not illegal for me to inflate the price of my real estate because, quite frankly, my real estate has me sitting in it, I believe is worth more than the building's appraisers would say, just because. In fact, I believe the building has more value simply because Blink Radio's in here. WSQF 94.5 and WSQFradio.com, live stream worldwide.
Letitia James said that Monday she will start, you know, seizing Trump's assets on Monday, which is ridiculous. So it's time.
Isn't there some kind of plea of interpleader or some fancy legal term for asking the federal court to step in because the Constitution clearly states that you can't have unreasonable fines?
Cruel and unusual punishment.
No, not, well, it's
yeah,
in
that's
that,
what it is.
It's in that amendment. It's in that amendment.
The Eighth Amendment.
Right. Unreasonable. What do you call it? Not unreasonable search. It's unreasonable fines and.
Right.
There's another word. God. I can't say that part.
So anyway, this is something's going to happen within the next 2 days, and hopefully some Musk type will come in and say this is BS. Here's the money, you know. Okay.
Okay. Now going back to your article in Ireland, you think there's some Irish guy who can pony up the money? That'd be cool. He has euros.
No, Ireland.
You know, they like your article so much, they hear you plea. Go ahead, say it.
No,
you
know, I got rid of the prime minister.
You got rid of the prime minister. Is there someone up there with Big Bank over there that can write the check for Donald Trump? Because this is getting really sticky here that these commies, you know what I think about the left in this country, the biggest mistake we make propaganda-wise, marketing-wise, from a narrative standpoint, is the far left of our party, of the far left of the Democratic Party is the problem. No, man, the whole party is the problem. Everyone, all you my friends that are Democrats, you know that your party can't govern. Why? Because you guys have had 11 filibuster-proof Senates since 1911. That is legislative dominance.
You're talking about the Democrats.
Yes. Since 1911, they have had 51 or 60 11 times.
And we rarely get one.
Rarely. You know how many we've had since 1911?
Three.
Zero.
No, we had one.
1911. That's it.
No.
Yes, we never had
one. No.
When do we have a filibuster percent?
No, filibuster or no?
No, you have to have 60. No, it hasn't happened. It was 51 in 19.
We got the majority in
New Majority Kansas. Means nothing.
I know.
Nothing.
Contract with America, 1994.
That's when we got majority in the House. Yeah. That's not a filibuster-proof Senate.
No, I got you.
We got majority of the House. You know how long it's been since 1994?
Yeah, a long time.
You know how long they controlled the House?
Well, we had it in
27 years.
We had it in the first 2 years of Trump.
Look, folks, Google images.
Don't Google. DuckDuckGo.
There you go.
Google's commies.
Yeah, okay. Go, DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckFo. Whatever you want. It walks like a duck. It's a duck. You know what I mean?
Why a duck?
Yeah. Google it with images and look for yourself at the graph. Don't pay attention to the 1800s because we could talk forever about America in the 1800s, very different than America in the 1900s, and very different than the 21st century after 2000. But they still have had the filibuster-proof Senate. And how do you think they passed the income tax? How do you think they passed the Social Security Act? How do you think they passed the Welfare Act? How do you think they passed Obamacare? With the filibuster-proof Senate. And there's a hot streak in the House that was like 18 and 26 years with a two-year interval where we broke the majority for only a two-year session. I'm not saying that we didn't deserve it, because after all, we got political Stockholm syndrome, but the left has political bipolar disorder. And with that, I'll drop the mic. You know
Very
what I mean?
Good.
Because I just ended it.
So please subscribe to American Spectator, spectator.org. And this is an election year, and it's very important.
And it's also very important that you also call the American Spectator and says, leave a space in the alphabet for C, as in Mac on the Rock, Blink Radio, WSQF. See ya. Enjoy your day. Stay free. Listen to the Beatles. 1968. If you like our programming on WSQF 94.5 in Key Biscayne, you can also hear us very far away nationwide, WSQFradio.com. And if you like our audio files and our subject matter, subscribe to YouTube, Mac on the Rock Rampage. Take care and stay free.